ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 11 लॉर्ड कृष्णस एंट्रेंस इनटू द्वारका टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The citizens arrive before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who by his own potency incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamb to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Purport. The Supreme Lord Krishna is described herein as Atmarama. He is self-sufficient, and there is no need for him to seek happiness from anything beyond himself. He is self-sufficient because his very transcendental existence is total bliss. He is eternally existent, he is all cognizant and all blissful. Therefore, any presentation, however valuable it may be, is not needed by him. But still, because he is the well-wisher for one and all, he accepts from everyone everything that is offered to him in pure devotional service. It is not that he is in want for such things, because the things are themselves generated from his energy. The comparison is made herein that making offerings to the Lord is something like offering a lamp in the worship of the sun god. Anything fiery and illuminating is but an emanation of the energy of the sun, and yet to worship the sun god, it is necessary to offer him a lamp. In the worship of the sun, there is some sort of demand made by the worshiper, but in the case of devotional service to the Lord, there is no question of demand from either side. It is all a sign of pure love and affection between the Lord and the devotee. The Lord is the Supreme Father of all living beings, and therefore those who are conscious of this vital relation with God can make filial demands from the Father, and the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. The Lord is just like the desire tree, and from him everyone can have everything by the causeless mercy of the Lord. As the Supreme Father, the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord can rise to the position of unalloyed devotional service by his transcendental attraction. Tatro panita balayo ravir dipam ivaridrita atmaramas purna kamam nijalabhina nityada. The citizens arrive before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who by his own potency incessantly supplies others. These presentations are like the lamp of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as wards welcome their guardian and father. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharane Atmaramas Chamunayo Ni Granta Yad Yurukrame Kurvanta Haitukim Bhaktim Itam Bhuta Guno Hari. So this describes about the Atmaramas. One such Atmarama was Shukadeva Goswami, and Suta Goswami's glorify him as Atmarama Chamunayo. So amongst the many different types of munis, some may be Atmarama. Atma means the self, and Rama means to take pleasure in the self. And when Lord Chaitanya was speaking to, first of all, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he explained this verse in 13 different ways. And then when he was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, which we can read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he revealed this verse in 64 different ways. by combination of the different meanings of the words. But the essential meaning is that Atma, Rama, those who take pleasure in the self, Atma ritis chamanava, yastu atmatir eva syat, Atma tritas chamanava, Atma nyeva cha shantustas, tasya karma navidyate. That for one who takes pleasure in the self, who is illuminated within the self, who rejoices within the self, who is fully satisfied in the self, he has no particular work to do. The idea is that everyone in the material world is working principally to become happy. Although sometimes people forget that, but that's the principal reason why people want, why they endeavor. And in order to become happy, people want to find out how to become happy, and that's called knowledge. And the longer one can become happy, then the better one's knowledge is. Of course, real happiness is explained, tatra satvat nimalatvat prakasha kamanamayam sukha sangena bhananti jnana sangena chagnaga. That the mode of goodness being pure in the others is illuminating and frees one from all sinful reaction. Those situated in that mode develop knowledge but become conditioned by a sense of happiness. So the type of happiness in the material world is generally in the mode of goodness. Although people may forget that the cause of their suffering is their material attachments. They take their suffering as their enjoyment. But those who have knowledge, they know that if they're free from attachment, or if they gain knowledge of their real self as apart from their material body, then they can become free from so many different types of kleshas or different types of sufferings, which are caused principally by ignorance. So those who are on the transcendental platform, those who have realized Brahman, that's the beginning stage of Atmarama. Those who become free from all material attachments, then they have no more suffering, because the nature of the material world is to suffer due to the adiatmika klesha, adibodhika klesha, and adidaivika klesha. So if one can become free from the bodily identification, then he becomes free from all different types of suffering. But as we heard, yanye arevindaksha vimuktamaninas twayasta bhavat avashuddha buddhaya aruya kritschena param padam tada pashantyana dyadrita yushmarangrayaha that those who are coming to the platform of freedom from bodily identification, if they don't become Krishna conscious, then they cannot find shelter simply in understanding that I'm not this body. That one has to rise up to the concept of life whereupon one falls in love with Krishna. Only when one falls in love with Krishna, then one can actually experience a higher taste which will keep one perpetually on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, it is found that even these so-called Atmaramas who have realized themselves as apart from their body, often they fall down back to the material world and they open up hospitals. Or they feed the poor, do some kind of philanthropical work. So they rejected the world as mithya. Their slogan is Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. That Brahman is real, Satya, and this material world is mithya or false. But even after rising up beyond the world, still they come back to this false world and try to do something here. So Atmaramas Chamunayo Nigranta. Nigranta means one who's become liberated from material concepts of life. Granta means the scriptures. Just like we say Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai. So Nir means granta, without any scripture. So who are without scripture? The fools, the rascals, they're without scriptures. So it is said that we're something about fool's paradise. So also those who are, it says in this material world, only the most intelligent and learned are happy, and the fools are happy too, because they don't know what's going on. So Nigranta can mean either those who have gone beyond scriptural injunctions, the liberated paramahansas, or the fools and rascals who are happy no matter what happens, who don't know anything about the scriptures. But generally in the verse it's translated, Nigranta means those who have become beyond any kind of scriptural limitations. The scriptures are generally meant to restrict the sense gratification of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul generally is anxious to serve his senses. Andaya tander upagiyamanas tepisha tantra urudami bara. Or Prahlad Maharaj says, Mitirna Krishne parataksatova mito vipadyeta griha vratanam adanta govir vishutam tamizram punak punas charavananam. So those who are in the material concept of life, the bodily concept of life, whether it be personal identification with the body or identification with the society or the country, nationalism or even humanitarianism, those who are in this limited concept of life, their aim is generally adanta govir. Somehow or another, either they want to serve their own senses or they want to serve other person's senses, but generally they don't understand the necessity of serving Krishna's senses. Therefore, sense gratification is their basic principle. They don't understand that there's such a thing as spiritual sense gratification because they don't really understand that this who the Supreme Person is. He Vishnu. They can't accept that the actual goal of life is to satisfy Krishna. Dharasha ye bahir arta manina, they take something limited or insignificant, temporary, as the all-important center of their existence. So, those who are nigranta, those who are beyond the scriptural limitations, they're not bound by scriptures which are more or less meant to restrict the conditioned soul in his endeavors for sense gratification. Dharmak prayojita kaitavotra paramoni matsara anam siddham. Therefore, the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it gives up dharma, artha, kama, moksha as being prayojita kaitava. Prayojita means to give up. Kaitava means misleading, bewitching. Krishna has said the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadant yavipaschita Veda Vatarata Parta Nanyamastiti Varina Kamatmaka Swargapara Janmakaram Phala Pradam Kriya Visheshu Bahulam Bogaishwayagatim Prati. Generally in the Vedic literature, in order to induce people to follow rules and regulations, they offer different bribes. If you, just like a child, if you take him to the dentist, I remember my dentist didn't do it, but I heard about it. But if you go to the dentist and he drills your teeth, generally the children start to cry. They don't like the sound. Generally in the Vedic literature, in order to induce people to follow rules and regulations, they offer different bribes. If you, just like a child, if you take him to the dentist, I remember my dentist didn't do it, but I heard about it. But if you go to the dentist and he drills your teeth, generally the children start to cry. They don't like the sound or whatever. Actually, when I first started to go to the dentist, they didn't have Novocaine. They didn't give you a shot. So more or less, they were just drilling on your teeth. So as soon as I hear the drill, I start crying and someone would have to try and hold me down. But then the dentist developed the strategy before Novocaine of giving the children a lollipop. Just what they needed to keep the doctor in business. The dentist in business. So, the idea was the lollipop, the dentist, I'm sure he knew, was supposed to be the cause of cavities. But, in order to bribe the child, so he'd go through the procedure of having his teeth drilled on, then they give him the promise of the lollipop was there, if he didn't cry too much, if he didn't bite the dentist. So similarly, the Vedic literature, says you can go through the process of sacrifice because the main things are jaga, tapa, and dana. So generally speaking, people don't like to perform sacrifice. It's inconvenient. You have to spend so much money. It takes so much time. People don't like the idea of tapasya, going through austerity. They don't like the idea of giving charity unless it enhances their fame or prestige. People don't like, these things are not the favorite activities. But the Vedic literature advises these things and offers rewards. That if you perform such and such charity, then you can go to Indraloka, or you can go to Brahmaloka or Siddhaloka. You can go somewhere and get some reward. In this lifetime, you can get a son, you can get good health, you can get so many different advantages by performing this ritual, this sacrifice, giving this charity, etc., etc. And this way people are encouraged to follow the Vedic literature. And the Vedic literature is scientifically made in such a way is that if people do follow the Vedic literature, if they give a certain amount of money to the priest, and the priest chants a certain mantra, performs a certain sacrifice, then they do get a son, they do get some wealth, they do get cure from their disease. And this way people are encouraged to follow the rules and regulations. And after developing faith in the Vedic literature, one can rise up to the point of realizing that there's something more in the Vedic literature than just getting fruit of results in this lifetime. One can get results in the next lifetime. So in that way, the idea of the immortality of the soul is introduced, because if there's a next lifetime, it means that the soul must be different from the body. And then as one advances even more, then the Vedic literature is offered the opportunity for liberation. But the price one has to pay is progressively more. One has to perform. One has to give up more material desires. One has to develop more spiritual knowledge. So, as the rewards are greater, the sacrifices demanded are also greater. But ultimately, Nigranta means one who's gone beyond all this scriptural injunctions, because he has no more material aspirations, even up to the point of liberation. Just like we sing every day, Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavatad Bhakti Ahai Tuki Twayi Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shvare Bhavatad Bhakti Ahai Tuki Twayi. That Lord Chaitanya didn't want wealth, he didn't want followers, he didn't want beautiful women. So the idea is that what's wrong with this person? He must be after liberation. He must be frustrated. He had a hard time in family life. Therefore, he wants liberation. But no, he doesn't even want liberation. He only wants to become a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. So that conception of servitorship is not very much appreciated within the material world. If someone said, I was a millionaire, I had so many wives, I was famous all over the world, and I gave it all up to become a servant, people think, this person is, what happened to him? No one will give up all these things to become a servant. But, so this type of servitorship that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is anxious for cannot be the servitorship of the material world. It has to be the servitorship of the spiritual world. So that nigranta doesn't mean to give up all activity, to go beyond the rules and regulations of this material world, or the restrictions of the scriptures in the material world, doesn't mean to become without any activity. It means to become a servant in the spiritual world. And what is the result? Atmaramas chamunayo ni granta yad yurukrame. So, if one becomes a servant of yurukrame, korvantya haitukim bhaktim, then all he wants to render is devote unalloyed service to Krishna. Korvantya haitukim twai, unalloyed or causeless mercy, service to Krishna. Korvantya haitukim bhaktim itam buddha ganohari. And why? Because Krishna has unlimited transcendental attractive qualities. Krishna, everyone is serving Krishna in the spiritual world not because of fear that unless we render service to Krishna in the spiritual world, then, you know, Krishna will punish us there or we won't get our prasad or something. I'll be last in the line with the cowherd boys and I won't get any prasad that day because Krishna was angry. Now, in the spiritual world, people serve Krishna simply out of unalloyed love and attraction for him. That everyone, even there's Abhimanyu, and Jatila is Abhimanyu's mother, and then his sister is Kutila. So even Kutila and Jatila, they're also rendering service to Krishna, although in to our vision may not be in a very favorable way, but actually they're just as favorable to Radha and Krishna as anyone else in the spiritual world. Even in the spiritual world, according to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita at least, that the Kaliya serpent is there. But the Kaliya serpent is on the Jamuna, and it acts as more or less the cowherd boys, girls, and Krishna sometimes take rides on the Kaliya serpent. That there are no demons there. Everyone is serving Krishna favorably. Even Keshi demon comes and Krishna takes a ride on the Keshi demon. That there are no demons there. There are only rumors of demons which help make everyone fearful that maybe Krishna may be harmed and therefore they become more attached to Krishna because of these rumors. But actually everyone there is an unalloyed servant of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna has so many transcendentally attractive qualities that everyone wants to serve him. Does anyone know the 64 qualities that Krishna has? Does anyone know any of the qualities that Krishna has? Those are the last four. What are the last four qualities Krishna has? Yes, those are the four last important ones. His unsurpassable beauty, his pastimes, especially his pastimes as a youth, his childhood pastimes, or sometimes it says especially his conjugal pastimes with the gopis, and his surrounded by loving devotees, and his flute. And what are the five before that? That Narayan has? Yes. Unlimited. What is that sort of quality? He's the source of all universes. Unlimited universes emanate from him. He has all mystic power. He has an ever fresh, youthful Satchitananda body. And what are the 54 before that? With all auspicious bodily marks. Does anyone know? And then there's the 32 marks on his body. Anyhow, we can. So Nectar of Devotion describes in brief about Krishna's qualities. So anyone has unlimited universes emanate from his body, plays on the soul enchanting flute, that people become attracted to him. Even people don't like Krishna, still they're attracted to him. So in this way, itam bhuta guno hari, because of Krishna's unlimited qualities, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva ridayesha vilokayanti yam shaima sundam achintya guna swarupam Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhajami. Achintya Guna Swarupam. That because Krishna is Achintya Guna Swarupam. His form has Achintya Guna, has inconceivable qualities. And for this reason, Premanjana Charita, those whose eyes can see those qualities, who are covered with the salve of love, Bhakti Imam Abhijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tattvataha, Itamam tatvato gyatva vishite tadanantara. That one can actually experience Krishna, appreciate Krishna, only if one is in the mood of loving devotion. Just like if you hear about someone you don't like, and they've achieved something wonderful, then you don't take it very important. Probably gives you a story. One time, Mr. Patel, he was elevated to the position of a high court judge in India. And one of his friends, his schoolmates, saw him and went to tell another friend, "Yes, I've just seen Mr. Patel, and now he's a high court judge." So his friend, who didn't particularly appreciate Mr. Patel, said, "I don't believe it. The guy was a loser since his birth. I don't believe he could be a high court judge." So he said, "No, I've seen it with my own eyes. He was sitting on the bench." So he said, "All right, even if he's sitting on the bench, I'm sure they're not giving him any salary." So if one is dislike someone, if one is not appreciative of someone, even if he's doing something wonderful, it won't be considered very important. As I pointed out before, that even Kamsa, he heard about from Akrura Krishna's wonderful activities, but he did not appreciate them. He said, "So what? So this boy has lifted one pebble, Govardhan Hill. So he's defeated one harmless water snake, the Kaliya serpent. So it is wonderful that you're claiming that this boy, this coward boy, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply on the basis of this." On the other hand, if one has affection for someone, even they do something insignificant, somehow or another it becomes very important. Just like sometimes you may go over someone's house and they take out the family album where the little baby made his first step. And the whole family is in ecstasy, pointing out the little baby, you know, the child making a step. So for them it's a wonderful, joyous event. Everyone is like, their hearts are throbbing out of love and ecstasy and appreciation. But someone who's outside the family will not be able to understand exactly where the emotional ecstasy is coming from. So if, even if some, or you have, someone has a little trophy, you know, because my son, he won the badminton contest, and their parents are all proud that, you know, my son is a hero, an athletic champion. So even some, if one has love for someone, then even they do something insignificant, it becomes greatly appreciated. So similarly, Krishna says, in order to appreciate me, you have to love me. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. In order to understand me, my birth and transcendental activities and truth, then you have to render loving service to me. Otherwise, it won't be possible. Similarly, even if one sees Krishna within the heart, and if one doesn't have this premanjana, this love for Krishna, then one will not be able to appreciate Krishna's inconceivable wonderful qualities. Just like many people may come and they see Radha Gopinath on the altar, and Radha Gopinath, they also have inconceivable wonderful qualities, but some people may think that they're just a statue and wonder, why is it that these people are taking so much trouble to worship them? Because there is no love, there is no service, therefore there is no, they may not be able to appreciate. Of course, Krishna is so nice that people may think, well, he looks pretty friendly. I mean, all he's doing is playing a flute. So they may be able to appreciate. But still, only those who actually have love and affection, which is born out of an attitude of service, can actually, does Krishna reveal his inconceivable wonderful qualities to them. Then, if one is able to appreciate how wonderful Krishna is, then they'll be able to render ahaitukhi, unalloyed service to Krishna without any remuneration. So, here it is said that the devotees of the Lord, they have nothing really to offer to the Krishna because Krishna is already full with himself. Since he's the source of everything, what does he need? But he's hungry for the love of his devotees. The one thing the devotee has to offer to Krishna is his feeling of love. So the spiritual world is nothing more than all the devotees offering their feelings of love to Krishna, and this is what Krishna appreciates. So here in the material world, since Krishna is the source of the material world, there's nothing really that he needs here, but he still appreciates the unalloyed love that the devotees offer him, even within the material world, which may take the form of different presentations. So here in Dwarka, the servants of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, the transcendental associates of Krishna, they're offering different types of presentations, but Krishna accepts it lovingly. The example is given that just like you may have a multimillionaire father, he has so much money, what does he need? If you go there and you give him a donation of a hundred Belgian francs, he's not going to become very impressed. Even if you give him a donation of 100,000 Belgian francs, if he's sufficiently wealthy, he won't be impressed by it. But if his son takes some chewing gum out of his mouth and offers it with devotion to his father, "Hey Dad, try it out, it tastes great," then his father will be obliged to put the same chewing gum in his mouth and try it out, and appreciate the affection and the offering by his son. Probably gives the example of one prime minister of England, that he was Gladstone. And one man came for an interview, and his secretary said, "Mr. Gladstone is busy now, you'll have to wait some time." So after an hour went by, he asked the secretary, "When can I see Mr. Gladstone?" And he said, "You'll have to wait. He's still busy." So a little while went by, so the man went into the Prime Minister's office, and there he saw the Prime Minister down on his hands and knees, and on his back was his grandchild. And his grandchild was saying, "Giddy up, giddy up." And he was riding the grandchild around his room, his office, acting like a horse. So although he's a great, powerful Prime Minister of England, still for his grandson, he was acting just like an ordinary horse. So that is the position of Krishna. Although he's so powerful, still due to the loving presentation of his devotees, he becomes bhaktivatsal, simply a loving servant of his servants. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
You see, the suffering comes in modes of passion only, because in modes of ignorance someone doesn't suffer yet, and in modes of goodness he's not suffering already. So.
Well, in mode of ignorance I'm sure people are suffering. They're just not conscious of their suffering, so they take it as bliss. The people in ignorance, they certainly suffer. They're just not conscious of their suffering. But yeah, passion is ignorance and passion, they're suffering. But if one is not conscious of the suffering, he takes that as happiness. Just like if someone gives you some Novocaine and they drill in your teeth, so you're not feeling it, doesn't mean there's no, so it doesn't appear that there's any suffering. But after the Novocaine wears off, you may find out that you're actually suffering. Just like a tree is standing there and it's cold and it's windy and people are carving initials, so he's not that conscious to realize how much he's suffering. But obviously it's not something to look forward to, becoming a tree. So what's the point though? Just passion is. Yeah, passion is, if you're conscious and you're suffering. So in that sense, it appears to be even more suffering. Anxiety. Yes.
Some religions, you see that the relationship is always based on fear. It's in the Bible, or even the state of the demigods, they are acting because of fear of the Lord. So then, the thing is, is it possible to have the love of God from this kind of relationship?
And of fear. Probably.
for example, for you said if you keep on the, if you put love, special ones, that the, I mean, because they love you and they appreciate you, so if you live on this kind of relationship of fear,
no, not just by fear. Just like if your father is a policeman and one day he comes into your room when you're going to sleep and he puts a gun to your head and says, I heard a rumor that you don't like me anymore. So either you like me and you love me or I'll blow your head off. So the kid says, yeah, I just realized how nice you are. You know, yeah, Dad, I really appreciate you a whole lot. No, that's out of fear. We can't really develop affection or love for anyone. Out of fear, though, we can not do something that will prevent us from making any progress in that direction. In other words, the idea is that not a blade of grass moves. That everyone is fearful of Krishna. That even he's, as it says, he's feared by fear personified. Namely, death personified, Yamaraj. So that means that everyone's going to do their duty nicely, at least out of fear or the reaction. So doing the duty nicely means at least you won't do the wrong thing. Even if you're not in the right consciousness, at least you won't be in the you won't be doing the wrong thing and developing the wrong consciousness. So that in itself is not sufficient, but at least it's a platform by which one will be able to develop the proper consciousness. It's a foundational platform, but it's not the ultimate platform. Just like you may find out that your father is a policeman, you may be very fearful of him, or your uncle is a policeman, you may be very fearful of him seeing his gun, but then you find out that he's a nice person after you get to know him. Then your fear of him diminishes and your appreciation for him increases. What's that?
Fear has to be diminished before that comes?
Yeah, of course.
So it means that you might have to consider if there's no, if, as long as the fear is there, really, because we connected love and appreciation, if somebody really has some appreciation of the object of the love is more concrete. So it means that if somebody is on the level of the relationship, it's not fear, there's no fear, so there's no real appreciation.
Well, there may be some, there's real appreciation, but it's not very advanced. Just like if you, because this is just an analogy, just like if you, the Prime Minister of, or the President of America, because this is a real, may not be applicable nowadays, but if the President of America comes into the room, everyone will stand up out of respect, hopefully. But those who, that relationship is standing up out of respect is not a very complete or advanced relationship, although it's necessary to, and it's expected. But if he walks into the room and his wife stands up, when he's at home, his wife stands up out of respect, then it's a little unusual. Then although the relationship is more deep, still the relationship is more familiar between his family members. So the respect is there, and there is some relationship, a proper relationship, but in the more intimate relationship, then the same respect won't be there, although the relationship will be more intimate amongst his more immediate family relations. So in the beginning, if the President of the United States walked in, you walked over and, you know, slapped him on the back and saying, how you doing? You know, people would think that this is a little inappropriate. So there's different levels of relationship and there's different etiquettes according to how intimate the relationship is. Is that clear?
I wonder if it's possible to
No, the same intensity can't be there. It can't be there. Yeah, of course. If you're... No. Therefore, the Acharyas have told us that there, although everyone is considered equal in the Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, but the intensity of love is different for the different relationships. Just like there is, after prema, there is sneha, there is raga, anuraga, there's bhava and mahabhava. So there are different degrees of intensity of loving, of love for Krishna. So those who are in shantarasa, they may have prema. Those who are in dasirasa, they go up to sneha. And then those who are in vatsalya rasa, they go up to raga or anuraga. But only those who are in madhurya relationships, specifically Radharani, has mahabhava. So there are different intensities of love according to the degree of the different relationships with Krishna. That's specifically what differentiates one relationship from another. That's like even within Madhurya Rasa, the Parakya and the Swakya relationships are different. The enthusiasm that's created from the uninhibitedness of Parakya Rasa. It's considered a more intense relationship with Krishna than even Swakya Rasa, the relationship of a legally married wife to Krishna. But anyhow, even if we can get up to the state of prema, we'll be quite satisfied, I think. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.